For our scripture reading from the New Testament this evening, Matthew chapter 15, and following our reading in the New Testament, we'll return to our Old Testament passage, the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs. But first, Matthew 15, we'll begin our reading with verse 1, and we will read through the 20th verse. As we hear God's word, let us stand together and show our reverence to our God as he speaks to us in his inspired and infallible word. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "And why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by, has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother.' And thus you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' And after he called the multitude to him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind, guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Now, the book of Proverbs. Chapter 30, we'll just read one verse, the 17th verse from the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse 17. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." Let us bow for a word of prayer and ask God's blessing upon the preaching of his word. Almighty God, our Father, we are not wise as you are wise. We cannot understand and discern the things of your word apart from your spirit. We rely upon you to send your spirit to be our teacher. We thank you that you have sent him, that he is the one who makes known your mind. It is your spirit that knows your mind, and he communicates that to us. And so we pray that he would be active even this evening. Give us tender hearts to receive all that you have for us. We would pause again to thank you for the good news that we've received from the Lindauers. And we pray that you will indeed bless them and equip them and prepare them, give them great joy. Pray for all those who are expectant mothers that you will indeed grant them grace and healthy pregnancies and safe deliveries, whole and healthy children. Bring them before you once again. We pray again that you would be present now in these worship services, that we might know your will and might be empowered by your spirit to do it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If you go back just a little bit, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about the kinds of generations there are that we see in verses 11 through 14. We saw that the 14th verse is explained in verses 15 and 16 a little bit more in detail. I believe verse 17 explains something to us of the 11th verse. There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Verse 17 comes along and says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Recently, I had the opportunity to have a conversation with the president of the college from which I graduated. You all know that I'm a graduate of Bob Jones University. I spoke to Dr. Jones III upon the occasion of Robert's graduation. We had a very interesting conversation with him, and one of the things that we were interested in was how the school was doing. In particular, we had an interest in seeing how home-educated students were measuring up in the broad scheme of things. Of course, they said that they didn't have a great deal of experience because those who were coming to university were relatively, I think they said something like less than 10% of the student population. But they did say, he did say that they did rather well. They excelled in very many respects. The thing that he spoke of that disturbed me, however, was that one of the greatest problems that he as a college president has was that new students who are coming out of their churches that have been supporting them and also their schools, that there is a growing lack of respect for authority. It is the greatest problem that they have at that university, that students coming from professing Christian homes, from professing Christian schools, and from professing Christian churches simply have no regard and respect for authority. I think what we are seeing is once again the fruit of egalitarian thought in the breakdown of godly social order. And what we are seeing is indeed what is being spoken of in this 17th verse, that this particular command, that is the demand for a order of authority within social structures, is absolutely basic. And God speaks to us of the dire consequences when that is ignored. So the first thing that I want to do, obviously this verse has to do with the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth you. It's repeated in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, that your days may be long upon the earth. This is the promise that is given to us. But the thing that I want you to see in the 17th verse of the book of Proverbs, first of all, is I want you to observe the spiritual nature of the fifth commandment. You know, we can all understand the obvious and the external, but as I mentioned, verse 17 explains something a little bit more deeply than verse 11. We are seeing here in the book of Proverbs what Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount. He took the law of God and he didn't change it. He didn't make it a higher standard in the new than was in the old. He simply took the old covenant. He said, this is what it all means. And so here in the book of Proverbs, we see that obedience to parents is not only outward, but it extends to the very attitudes and the actions of the hearts, the things which people never see, the things that go on in your mind and in your heart, which you might be able to cover up rather cleverly. But it's spiritual. The Apostle Paul said, I had never known that I had broken the commandment, except the law said, you shall not covet. And then all of a sudden, when I understood the spiritual nature of all of the commandments that have not only extended to the actions, which are observable, but also to the very intents of the heart, then sin revived and I died. Because Paul thought that he had kept the commandments until he understood that it was not simply a matter of the outward action, but a matter of the heart. And so we see here that the fifth commandment requires certainly outward respect for lawful authority. That is obvious. You are to show your respect in your works. We talked about that this morning when we were speaking about our obligation to our God as we serve him in life, that while in a sense it's very simple to understand, it's hard to do, but what is it that God requires of us? We're simply to obey him. How do we honor God? By hearing him, believing him, and obeying him. It's a very simple concept. And so we, with regard to lawful authority, should show our respect by obeying them. You know the story that the Lord told of two sons. You've probably used it if you're a parent. If not, I commend it to you. I've used it with my children when the Lord was speaking about the two sons. One of them was told to do something, and he said, yes, Father, I'll do it. And then he didn't do it. And the other son, when he heard his father's command, said, you've got to be kidding me. I won't do it. But then later on, he thought better about it, And he went out and did it. Now, which one honored his father? Not the one who said, I'll do it, and didn't, but, of course, he could have honored him more if he'd have said, yeah, I'll do it, and he did it, but the fellow who said, no, I didn't. And so what I tell you is that good intentions really are not necessarily honoring. Good intentions are nothing if they are not carried out in the work. So we show our respect to God by our obedience. We show our respect to those who are in authority also by our obedience. That is the bottom line. But we also show respect for authority not only by our obedience, but we also show it by our deference. Now that word deference means, obviously, you defer to someone. That means that children in the household here, you not only are concerned with your parents' commands, but you're also concerned with their wishes. You know, we can kind of twist things and we can say, well, you didn't exactly say, and you know, if you don't really nail it down, yes, I see some children smiling here. If you don't exactly nail it down and say, just get all the parameters, but you didn't say that. Well, no, we didn't say that, but you knew what we were getting at. For instance, if we say, we don't want you to go, someone announces, I'm going to go to such and such a restaurant. We say, no, we don't want you to go to that restaurant. And the reason we're saying that is because it's not a good place to go. So you don't go to that restaurant, but you go to another disreputable place. Okay, you didn't disobey, right? But you didn't show any deference either. And you came very close to disobeying. And so you understand that we are not only to be concerned with the commands, but also that obedience which is outward is shown by deference in understanding not only the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law. So we are to show our respect in our works, and you're to show your respect in your words as well. To those who are superior to you in the chain of command, we are to show our respect in words. I think it is good to train our children. I think it is good to practice ourselves using respectful language when we are dealing with those who are our superiors. So it's good for children to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. Now, I realize that that is more prevalent in the South. I think it's good. I think it is good to train children to show their respect not only in their works, but also in their words, and to show it with respectful demeanor as well as respectful words. And you are not only to show your respect in your words to your superiors, but you are also to show your respect in your words about your superiors. Don't say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to your parents, and then go out and say, yeah, the old man and the old lady, they talk about this, that, and the other thing. Okay? You see, that is a creeping disrespect. And there are other things that we might say about them. And so the fifth commandment requires outward respect for lawful authority, but also, and this is the point, the fifth commandment requires inward respect for lawful authority. Notice what the word says here. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. There's no action involved, is there? There is no speech, at least verbal speech. You see, the eye is the mirror of the soul, I believe. The Lord Jesus, talking about the eye, says, if your eye be single, it should be full of light. He talks about the importance of that. And so we can understand the eye is that which perceives, but the eye is also that which expresses. It reflects the hidden person. My children know that one of the things that sets me off is when you speak to them and they don't say anything, but they just roll their eyelids, right? Not their eyelids, but roll their eyeballs. And you can tell what's going on in their little pea brains by watching their eyes. What they're saying is, you are so stupid. I can't believe how stupid you are to even think that. Now, they don't say it, But it's all right there in the eyes, isn't it? And that's why now they've learned, as I speak to them, they turn their backs and roll their eyes, but I know they're rolling their eyes. Okay? The eye that mocks a father and scorns mother. You see how it gets to the inward aspect of it? It isn't just the word. It isn't just the action. But is that which is reflective of what's in the soul and what's in the heart. And so, we can see these things going on in the heart. 2 Peter 2 and verse 14 talks about those who are false prophets. They have eyes full of adultery. That means that their inward being is just motivated by that, and it's expressed in that way. And so what we see then is that the commandment extends to the hidden motives of the heart. You are forbidden to mock authority inwardly, and you are forbidden to despise obedience inwardly as well. You know that story, and it does happen, and we're all familiar with it. That's why we can laugh at it, because we see it so clearly in ourselves. But the father who was telling his youngster to sit down, and after much persuasion and probably some chastisement, the child sat down and glared at her father. And she said, "Daddy, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside." Well, she was being honest. And that's what this commandment speaks about. That's the kind of thing that whereby we can obey outwardly. We can even obey with our words. And yet you see the commandment extends not only to that which is outward, but also to that which is inward. And I think we have a problem with this. All of us do, because we all have a problem with the commandments of God. But we all like to have our little fiefdoms, our little kingdoms in which we rule over them, and nobody else is going to tell us what to do. So we just carry on our little private rebellion in our hearts. And God says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Second thing I want to point out to you is, I want you to consider the importance of the fifth commandment. I think the importance is seen, first of all, in the penalty which God exacts. This language is very graphic. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. That is graphic language. It has, I think, rather specific meaning. We'll get to that in just a moment. But you understand what is being said here is that what the violation of this fifth commandment deserves is death. Rebellion against lawful authority is a capital crime. It requires the death penalty for dishonoring authority. Now, this is something which we want to run away from in our day, and I think it's a big mistake. It's one of the things that I was alluding to this morning when I talked about the demands that God makes upon us simply to believe what God's word says. We don't need to make excuses for God. God himself will vindicate his word. And God tells us very explicitly that he requires the death penalty for dishonoring lawful authority. Let's look at a couple of passages of scripture. Now, I want you to understand as you're turning here that we are not simply talking about occasional breaches of parental authority. That is quite obvious from the scriptures. But rather, we are talking about that kind of activity which is habitual. We are talking about those who habitually reject authority, and this is what God requires of them. In the 21st chapter of the book of Leviticus, verse 15, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Verse 17, "He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Look at the book of Leviticus and the 20th chapter. Just in case you missed it the first time around, Leviticus chapter 20 and in verse 9.
If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. And you can say, yes, Pastor, but that's all in the Old Testament. That is all passed away. Well, in the first place, we don't see anywhere in the New Testament where it's set aside. Quite the contrary, in the passage which we read before you this evening, in Matthew chapter 15, in the fourth verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, addressing those who dishonored their parents, quoted from the Old Testament, and he says, the person who curses his father or mother shall be put to death. And he didn't say, but that was then, and this is now. He was applying it in his own day, and he said, it's still the case that one who rejects parental authority, one who rejects in a positive way and an habitual way, rejects lawful authority, has forfeited his life. Now, we don't like that. You want to know why we don't like it? Because it sits in judgment upon our rebellion. It tells us what we deserve. And that is what we deserve, as we'll see a little bit later. We deserve death. God requires the death penalty for dishonoring lawful authority. There can be no getting around it. And it will either be exacted by the state as God's servants upon those who are habitual in their disobedience. And what we are speaking about there, we are speaking about those who have no respect for their parents, and therefore they have no respect for anybody. And if you go to the prisons of our country today, what you will find there are people who have never learned respect and honor for authority. They will not respect anyone's authority. They will not even respect the authority of the state. And so therefore, they find themselves in prisons. And you will find that most of those who are there are those who never learned, and you will find that they have never learned respect for their own parents in their home. That's where it starts. And if the state refuses to exact that penalty, then it will be exacted by God himself if the state is negligent. And it will be exacted not only on the individuals, but the culture that allows it to go on. God will exact his penalty. So God requires the death penalty for dishonoring lawful authority. And God requires a shameful death for a shameful act. What is spoken of here, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. It speaks about a public execution for a criminal that is not worthy of an honorable death. There is no death with dignity in this particular case. And so we can see that it was a great curse in the Old Covenant not to be buried. And the reason it was a great curse not to be buried was because then the birds of the heavens would come down and feed upon the dead body. And even though it was forbidden in Israel for a body to be hung up overnight, yet it could be, a person could be executed in the day, and by the end of the day, and I'm not trying to be too graphic here, but the softest and the most delectable parts of the body would be gone by the birds, and the eye was among the first things to go. And you see, it was a shameful thing. The view here is that of public execution, with the victims being left unburied as an example to others. And that's why you see in God's great judgment upon the nations who touch the apple of his eye, his anointed, his covenant people, he says, your slain will lay upon the ground as dung, and the birds of the heaven will come to the feast. Because those who will not acknowledge God and who hate his people will indeed suffer a shameful death. In other words, what God is saying here is that one who will not give honor will not receive honor. That's the lesson. If you are unwilling to give honor, then you will never receive honor. And so God requires the death of those who reject lawful authority. But the importance is not only seen in that, but it is also seen in its effect upon the social order. The reason God has such a severe penalty for those who would reject lawful authority is because it is the very bedrock of all order. God requires the death penalty because this commandment is the very basis for order in any culture. Dishonoring lawful authority ultimately and finally shatters the covenant relationship. Matthew Henry wrote this about this particular verse. If children should speak ill of their parents or wish ill to them or carry it scornfully or spitefully towards them, it was an iniquity to be punished by the judges who were employed as conservators both of God's honor and the public peace, which were both attacked by this unnatural insolence. You see what Matthew Henry was saying? This commandment lies so much at the heart of human relationships as well as the divine and human relationship that to assault this commandment, this requirement for respect for authority, is an assault upon God's honor and upon the peace of the public dominion in which you live. If you let it go, those two things are going to be destroyed: the honor of God and public peace. Now let me ask you the question. How do you think the parents of the United States are doing in that regard? Do you see a pervasive honor for God? And do you see a pervasive peace in the public sphere? I would suggest to you that one of the reasons is that we have forgotten the fifth commandment, which not only has to do with respect for authority to parents, but respect for obedience to parents as a duty to God. When you reject the fifth commandment, what happens is you are rejecting your respect for God and His authority. And when you are no longer subject to Him and His law, then there is no reason for you to be subject to anybody else's. And that's what we have arrived at. This commandment, of course, is the basis of relationships in the home. You cannot have a well-ordered home. You cannot have peace in your home. You cannot have that blessedness that comes from a godly home unless this is practiced in the home. There's no respect for parents in the home. It will be an unruly home. It is the basis of peace in the church. You learn respect for God and His authority at home, and if you don't learn it at home, then you will not learn it in the church. If you will not respect your parents, then it is unlikely that you will respect the elders of the church and the discipline of the church. By the way, this is one of the reasons why I believe and why we do not practice the item of children's church. It's not a very good idea. Because one of the things we as parents must be doing is we are to be training our children to worship, to honor and to respect and to revere God, not to please ourselves, not to find something that is particularly pleasing to us, but to sit in the worship of God and learn to worship Him, to come out of ourselves and to serve God, to honor Him as God. It is the basis of the marketplace. What we see in the marketplace today is an egalitarian mindset where authority structures are broken down. We are seeing the consequences of that. I was telling you some of the difficulties that we are seeing in the military now because of everything that has happened with the vile social experiment that is going on, particularly with women in the military and in combat. I think I told you, I may not have, but I read the letter of a young Navy lieutenant who was getting out of the Navy. He said, because every time an order is given by a male superior to a female inferior, by the way, not every time, but many times, those officers are afraid to give the orders because there's so many charges of sexual harassment. The authority structure in the military is gone. And so now, male officers ask female inferiors, ask them and request them to do things. They do not order them. You can imagine what this does to the morale of those men who have to take the orders. It's not good. What's happening? The entire moral and social fabric is coming apart because we've forgotten this simple command that we are to honor lawful authority. And ultimately, of course, it is the basis of the state as well. Jesus affirms and approves the law regarding despising lawful authority, and He does so because it is the very framework and the very fiber of all social relationships. And thirdly, The importance is seen, although not here in this verse, the importance is also seen in God's promise for obedience, that you may live long upon the land or upon the earth. One of the great blessings where there is a well-ordered society and a godly society is there will be long life and there will be longevity to the people who live upon the land. And when there is not, of course, the opposite is true. Now, what can we say to all of this? How do we respond to the implications of the fifth commandment? Well, I think the first thing that you must do, we all must do, is this evaluation of the fifth commandment ought to lead us to call upon God for mercy, because every one of you and I need a Savior. We have not kept the fifth commandment. We have dishonored God. If not outwardly, we have done so in our hearts, have we not? God speaks to us, and what do? We may obey, but do we do so without grumbling or complaining? Do we not, in our hearts, mock the Father? Or do we not scorn his advice, desire to do otherwise? I pointed out to you that what we really deserve for that is the ultimate death penalty. Now, I'm not just singling this one out, because I could take you to any of the other Ten Commandments also. I could take you to the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And if you violate that commandment, you deserve the ultimate death penalty, eternal damnation. I could take you to the second commandment, you shall not make any graven image, nor bow down and worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I'm not going to quote the whole thing to you. You've broken that one too, and that deserves the death penalty. The third commandment, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. You've broken that one. That deserves the death penalty. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, your son, etc., etc. You've broken that one too. But you see, when it comes to the fifth commandment, what we are seeing is, as things become worse and worse around us, there is, in principle within us, a rebellion of God against God's providence. And my children have pointed that out to me. Had a discussion a while back, and I have to say, my son was right, I'm wrong, I'll do it publicly, because he was talking to me about my speeding. And my response was, I'll stop speeding when the civil government gets its act together. You see, what I was expressing there, in a sense, was a rebellion against lawful authority. Now, we can go into the discussions about whether they should be doing this, that, or the other thing, but what I'm talking about is my attitude. The more tyrannical civil government becomes, the more rebellious I become. And it's not because the civil government is rebellious, it's because I am rebellious, you see. And that gives me an excuse. And what we deserve because of our disrespect for God and those whom he has appointed is we deserve the ultimate death penalty. But in the midst of that, as we understand where we are, we must also understand that Christ has paid the penalty for his people. And that is what gives us hope. If your salvation depends upon your respect for authority, you are damned. But Christ has paid the penalty and urges us to call upon him for mercy, for salvation, and to give us hearts and eyes that respond in lawful obedience. The second thing that we must do, finding Christ as our foundation, is we must continue to develop our respect for lawful authority. We are to fear God and the King. We are to cultivate that respect for authority in work and word as well as heart. And when we find ourselves boiling up and resenting, and when we find ourselves, if not outwardly, at least inwardly, rolling our eyes, we must understand The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. It is not something that is simply the way it is. It is something which we must guard, and we must develop a respect for lawful authority. And then a third thing that we must do in response is we must train our children to respect lawful authority. We must take what God has given to us and pass it on to them. And parents, let me tell you how you do that. First of all, you teach them to respect you. And in respecting you, you teach them that it is only as they respect you that they indeed fear God. Steve Schlissel put it well, didn't he, when he was here, children? He said, you know, you children, you have it, in a sense, very easy. He's given you one command out of the 10 to keep. And then your parents take care of everything else. That one commandment is honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that your days may be long upon the land. But if you don't learn that lesson, if you don't learn that one lesson of honoring your parents, neither will you learn to honor God, neither will you learn to keep the other commandments. Indeed, you will find that if not physically, then spiritually, this certainly will take place. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Not a pleasant thought. The next time you're tempted to roll your eyes, just imagine that, if you will. It may make you blink, but it may also guard your heart and keep you from a haughty and disrespectful attitude that is displeasing to God, destructive to your soul, and if left unchecked, certainly destructive to the environment in which you live as well. May God grant us the grace to hear and understand. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we bow before you and ask that you would give us a new appreciation for your holy law, which reveals your character. Lord, we thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was falsely accused, he stood before his accusers as a sheep before its shearers, and even in that regard did not show disrespect. Lord, we think of the Apostle Paul, who was unlawfully smitten by a servant of the high priest's command, and yet when the Apostle Paul rebuked him sharply, he retracted when he found out that it was at the command of the high priest. He cited your word that we are not to speak evil of the ruler of your people. So, Lord, we come before you and we confess that we are all too prone to rebel. We confess that there is that within us which seeks to turn aside from you and to carve out our own sphere of sovereignty, where we will not observe and acknowledge your sovereignty. We are all too prone to rebel against you and against those that you have appointed. And we can find many reasons for it. Lord, we pray that you would give us hearts that would respond first of all to you and humble ourselves and subject ourselves in accordance with the teaching of your word, and grant that we might come to understand the spiritual nature of this commandment as well as its importance, and that you would come down, that you would forgive us and pardon us of our sin and make us a holy people, who love and respect you supremely, and our neighbors ourselves. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you please take your hymnals as we conclude our worship this evening and turn to hymn 293. Let children hear the mighty deeds which God performed of old, which in our younger years we saw and which our fathers told. Let's stand again as we sing hymn 293, taken from the 78th Psalm.
Let children hear the mighty deeds which God performed of old, which in our younger years we saw and which our fathers told. He bids us make his glories known, his works of power and grace, and will convey his wonders down through every rising rays. Our lips shall tell them to our sons, and they again to theirs, that generations yet unborn may teach them to their heirs. Thus shall they learn in God alone, their hope securely stands, that they may ne'er forget his works, but practice his commands.
Receive now the benediction of your God. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.